A Mack truck is stopped in its tracks, just a few hundred feet from its destination on the Detroit River. In fact, a small knot of people has tied up traffic going into the terminal, where freighters load up and ship out to ports all over the world. These people want to stop the stuff this truck is carrying from getting there. That stuff is petroleum coke.
Number one, communities, health, quality of life, environment, and justice should come number one.
Standing in the middle of the street, Mackenzie Duke reads a list of demands from activists and residents. They've watched the pet coke piles grow and shift for months, at times spanning a half dozen city blocks and reaching several stories high. And Duke has seen the impact in her home, just hundreds of feet away from the Detroit riverfront. She lives in an old warehouse building recently converted into spacious, airy lofts. But when she started opening her windows this past spring,
I started seeing all this black dust coming in.
At first, she thought maybe it was just road dust, or maybe the wind bringing in some of the sand or gravel piled up at the nearby docks.
This was not like that. This really got my attention when I started to try to Swiffer it up. No, it's not coming up. You can't just dust. It's kind of gritty, grimy, and you have to actually clean it off.
So Duke started looking for a source.
Yeah, you can see the tankers.
You can't see the pet coke piles from Duke's apartment, but you can easily see them from the building's roof. It's a great spot to watch the goings-on at the dock. Trucks hauling the stuff come in and dump it in open piles. Conveyors move it on to freighters. Stephen Boyle is an activist with the group Detroit Coalition Against Tar Sands. The Marathon Oil Refinery in Detroit recently expanded to process more tar sands oil, hence the sudden pet coke piles. Boyle has spent hours up here and elsewhere nearby documenting the flow of petcoke in and out of the docks. He takes pictures, organizes rallies, and posts information online. He says it's all an effort to expose what's actually going on.
We're pulling together so much evidence right now. I don't believe that the people that we're facing will understand how much evidence we have against them.
But for now, environmental officials say petcoke is basically safe. The Environmental Protection Agency treats petcoke as a commodity. It can be burned as a low-grade alternative to coal, though the EPA no longer issues new permits for that. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality has no specific process to regulate it. But that doesn't exactly reassure people like Boyle and Duke. They point out that in addition to being a nuisance, petcoke contains sulfur and some toxic trace metals. Mostly, petcoke is lots and lots of carbon, so when it's burned, it becomes a potent source of greenhouse gas emissions. It all starts with the tar sands oil flowing out of Alberta, Canada, and now Detroit is one more visible node in that carbon-intensive global energy web.
We're already in a very highly impacted community.
That's Jeff Gearhart, a researcher with the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center.
So all of these incremental impacts are important, and I think have the potential to have real-world impacts on people's health.
But Gearhart says there's just a lot we don't know yet, and that's why he's disturbed that unsheltered mountains of petcoke can just show up along the riverfront. To be fair, the petcoke's handlers, a company called Detroit Bulk Storage, have taken measures to mitigate the environmental impacts. But Detroit's petcoke piles have already drawn international attention, and they've become a focal point for the pushback against tar sands oil. For the Environment Report, I'm Sarah Swick.